Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to episode 4 of the Dudes on Hockey podcast. We're talking about hockey, but we're in the center of summer. That means not a lot's happening. Free agency, most of the free agents have signed. Most of the Sharks have signed. There's a couple of empty holes that we're going to be talking about in a moment. So that means we should be talking about Doug's trip to Vegas. How'd it go, dude?
Mike, I'm still so drunk right now.
Good
Let me
you.
Tell you. I went to Vegas for my mom's birthday. That is not a joke.
I hope you're going to tell me that you didn't go to Coyote Ugly.
Well, we didn't go to Coyote Ugly this time because, you know, my mom was on vacation. So we only usually go when she's working.
Right.
But we did go see Bette Midler, Mike, and it was a thriller, let me tell you. And after Bette Midler, I was really excited to see that the American League was just about to eke out a victory, which meant big cash for me, big cash. But it was a little depressing, kind of a pisser time to go when there's no sports to bet on, especially hockey, because I love to clean up on hockey out there. We'll talk about some hockey betting probably during the season.
Yeah, actually,
I do love to talk about
that. But preseason odds are out, aren't they?
That's right. Preseason odds are out. Sharks, 8-1. Red Wings were 7-2, and I think the Penguins are 6-1. This was all at the Bellagio Sportsbook. Ducks were also 8-1. So that means right now the Sharks are the third favorite team to win it all.
So other teams, so the Stars, I mean, they got to the Western Conference Finals last year. The Stars up there with the Sharks?
They were around 12-1, if I remember right. Some of the surprising ones, the Devils were 20-1, which is extremely tempting to put $20 on that. You know, they made some pretty nice moves in the offseason, and with
Brian
Brodeur
Walston
and the Eastern Conference, I mean, you could easily see them making a run to the finals. So that was extremely tempting. But I put $10 on the Islanders at 100-1 because I love their coach, Ted Nolan.
I guess I got to tell you something. I have a secret that I need to tell you about later on in the show. I'll let you know what that is. But first, let's get to the Sharks.
That's ominous. You never want to hear I have a secret and whispered tones from your friend.
That's right. But let's start out with the segment that I am now calling We Suck, which is the segment where we talk about all the mistakes that we made in the past week. And we made quite a few last
week. We're not going to talk about Vegas, right?
Well, maybe later in the show. You could talk about your massage. But the We Suck segment, we messed up quite a few things. We railed on the rumor about Erhoff and how the 3-year, $9.3 million deal was not true, and how he's going to sign for less money. It turns out, wrong.
Wrong. I'm not unhappy about it, are you?
I don't think so. I think Erhoff's a pretty decent player. I mean, they got to keep some youth. Vlasic, I think, is going to be restricted next year. So now that they've traded Carl, they need to keep Erhoff and Vlasic around.
You just wonder where he fits into the overall depth chart of the Sharks right now. Is he on the third pair? I mean, to me, it looks like he might be. You got Boyle. Are they going to play him with Lukowicz? You got to maybe expect that that's going to happen. You've got Blake and Vlasic. So then the third pair is Erhoff and Murray, Erhoff and McLaren, and we have no idea what's going to happen with McLaren, if he's really going to be on the team next year, if Wilson's going to hold on. I mean, we kind of beat that McLaren horse to death last week, but you know, Erhoff at 3.1 in the market, that's probably going rate. But it is surprising because Wilson usually does get his own players for below market value. So how do you feel about, as a Sharks fan, Erhoff getting 3.1, Pavelski getting like 1.55, 1.6, when Pavelski might have been a larger contributor to last year's success?
Well, the thing is, I think Erhoff has some unique talent, or at least not unique, but certainly rarer talent than maybe Pavelski does. Erhoff is a good skating defenseman. He can move the puck. He's a good stick handler. You do see him stick handle through the neutral zone fairly often and actually break into the zone on his own sometimes. So I think those kinds of skills are especially skills that we're seeing getting paid for. I mean, witness the Brian Campbell deal, the Mark Strait deal, the Ron Hainsey deal. These kinds of skills are getting paid in the NHL right now. And maybe Ehrhoff isn't as big a contributor to the team as Joe Pavelski is. But unfortunately, and this is not a knock against Joe Pavelski, he is not a particularly big guy. He's not a particularly fast guy. He doesn't have a wicked shot or can stick handle amazingly through traffic. So, but he has great hockey sense, and he really contributes a lot to the Sharks team. And I don't mean to diminish his contribution, but unfortunately, there are a fair amount of players, I think, that sort of fit that same kind of mold as Joe Pavelski. He's not an outlier in really any skill set where Ehrhoff is.
So you're saying if you have decent size and good speed and make a mean schnitzel, you can get paid in this league.
That's true. That's true.
And you that's can, what happened to Ehrhoff.
And you can play chess and blog.
Oh, speaking of bloggers.
Right.
Marcel Gotch. Thing that we totally blew it on. He's back.
I thought he was using arbitration to try to get to unrestricted free agency so he could sign with another team. Wrong again. He signed with the Sharks, $775,000, a one-year deal, I think. So that means he's squarely on the fourth line, I suppose. Maybe they'll use him as a face-off specialist or something. I'm not exactly sure what his role in this team will be.
We thought last year, and I don't think necessarily we thought, but the word was is that last year was going to kind of be like Marcel Gotch's, for lack of a better phrase, coming out party.
Hey now.
Oh my. And that he was really going to have an explosive year and a contract year, and that he was going to show some flash like he did in training camp, that maybe he was going to be able to contribute on a higher line. And, you know, one thing that will be interesting is to see how some of these players, their game changes with a new coach. Maybe Doug Wilson wanted to give Gotch one more chance with maybe a little bit more of an offensive-minded coach, and maybe he can get Gotch to be a little bit more productive. Or maybe he's just an inexpensive, now veteran player to put on the fourth line.
Right, and certainly something we're going to be talking about a lot this summer, we've touched on already tonight, is that the Sharks are very close to the cap, and so maybe signing a guy like Gotch for under $1 million, under the Patrick Rissmiller line, as I like to call it, signing him for under the Patrick Rissmiller line means that there's just that much more money for the Sharks to spend on somebody else, somebody like Ryan Clough. Ryan Clough is yet unsigned. There was a report that he had a handshake agreement with management even a couple of months ago, but we still don't have a deal. What do you think that's all about?
Well, my initial thought was because of the cap problem that's sort of looming right now and the imminent moves that are probably upon us. You know, you've got to figure that something's got to give at some point. And until that happens, then maybe Clough isn't going to be signed officially. But could the Steve Bernier deal that happened with Vancouver, the offer sheet, the $2.5 million for 1 year, could that have kind of messed things up? And we heard Clough had an agreement with Doug Wilson without consulting his agent. Mm-hmm. Now the agent is thinking to himself, yeah, if Bernier, who clearly is unwanted by the Sharks, now unwanted by Buffalo, and goes to Vancouver and gets $2.5 million because the Blues, you know, Larry Plough was, you know, on crack one night or something.
he was mad about the other offer.
So
sheet,
he
right?
was mad about it. So he decided he was going to overplay for a mediocre Frenchman.
What are you talking about?
Oh, good Lord.
I know. Okay. Sorry. My French accent needs work, but, I don't think Clough's worth Bernier money. Bernier's getting 2.5, and Clough has half the games played and not in about half the points. So
serious knee injury, DUI last year. I mean, we talked about this last week. Clough, if his agent's trying to squeeze money out of the Sharks, this could backfire seriously for him. And if there's, you know, unfinished moves yet to happen, I mean, could you see a possibility that Clough isn't on this team next year?
No, because I think he's in a role that the Sharks need. You know, we talked last week about how Dallas got Sean Avery and how Colorado got Darcy Tucker, and that's a role that the Sharks don't really have, and the closest thing we have to it right now is Ryan Clough. Jeremy Roenick is unfortunately a guy that you can't see playing 80 games. just because of his age and injury history. And Jody Shelley is not the kind of skill player that Klo is. So there's really only one guy in the Sharks right now that can be a guy that's mean and big and hits and stands in front of the net and scores goals, and that's Ryan Klo.
So is this a power play for money, Mike? Or do you think that there is a deal in hand and that the organization is just waiting to clear up the necessary cap room to announce this deal and maybe something else?
Well, I believe that you can actually be over the cap until a certain date. I don't know if it's the start of camp or the start of the season. I know there are teams in the NHL right now that are technically over the salary cap for the coming year. So maybe there's just a reluctance by the Sharks organization to be in that situation, because that means they necessarily have to move people, and that leaves them quite inflexible. And everybody in the NHL knows what they're going to have to do. I think it's the thing you mentioned. I think that they're trying to get either more money or more term out of the Sharks. Maybe the Sharks want to give them a 2-year deal and they want a 4-year deal or something like that.
It seemed like from, you know, if we're using David Pollock's blog on the San Jose Mercury News, he's the beat writer for the San Jose Sharks, as our source, he implied that the money was agreed upon, and what Doug Wilson left up to Klo was he could decide the term. He said, you know, you can, I mean, this is X amount of dollars. You could sign for 2 years. You could sign for 5. You know, no, there's no reason why Klo would do that. I think we speculated the deal would be maybe in the $1.6 to $1.8 million range. Yeah. If I was Klo, I'd sign for 2 years. If I have a great season, then, you know, he could go get the money grab after that.
Right. I think we're going to see a resolution to this in the next week or two. I'm hoping we can talk about it next week.
I sure hope so, because it would be a giant mistake. I think we both agree that if he's not on this team next year,
I think he's going to be on the team. It's just sort of a question of what other moves are going to happen. And so we're going to have to look forward to see what happens. So let's go to the email bag. Thank you for all of your emails. You can email us at questions@dudesonhockey.com.
And do you have the bag, Mike?
I have a bag here for you.
Could you open your bag?
Not right now, but actually, here's the emails. And
that's not it.
That's not the emails? Where'd they go? Oh, here they are. So we do have
improv on Dudes on Hockey.
Hey now. Okay, so we got an email from Ivan Makarov. Sorry, I don't want to make a Sergei Makarov joke, but I guess
you just did.
I guess I just did. Sorry about that, Ivan. He says, from your experience, how accessible will the Sharks practices be when they resume August or September? Well, I know the prospect camp is going on right now. I know that's not open to the public. I don't think the Sharks will be opening practices until probably late in camp. So I know they have a pretty open practice policy, but I don't think they'll be doing that when they're still trying to evaluate players. I know a lot of fans will be interested in seeing the team. You know, there's been a layoff over the summer, so they're probably not going to want to deal with all the fans and things like that in the stands starting out. So I think we're probably going to have to wait probably close to the season. And now we know that the season's actually going to start against the Ducks at the Tank, October 9th.
Sweet.
That's going to be a great game. That's a great way to start
the
season.
That's brilliant scheduling. Yeah. That's brilliant scheduling.
We started on the road last year. This year we get to start at home, so thank God for that.
Our home opener last year was against?
The Bruins?
The Boston Bruins.
Yeah, that's weird.
And we lost.
Yeah. We lost a lot of home games that month. Ivan actually has another question. He says, who will replace Brown and the Riz as penalty killing forward? In terms of Brown, I think the answer to that question is pretty obvious. It's Torrey Mitchell. Torrey Mitchell is the reason why Brown is not back on this team. I mean, Brown is a good player. He was a penalty killing specialist, and with the emergence of the young Torrey Mitchell, eager to kill penalties with his speed and his excellent positioning in the box, I think that Torrey Mitchell answers that question. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be Mitchell and Greer on the top line. And I think Riz was unrestricted. It wasn't worth it to keep him around. They were trying to get somebody else. I don't really know who's going to be on the second pairing, to be honest with you.
I think you got to figure it's going to be Patrick Marleau. After the showing that he had in the playoffs killing penalties, he's so dangerous. He could score the shorthanded goal. He was actually really effective killing those penalties. So if I had to speculate, you go with someone like Greer. I'm sorry, someone like Marleau. Maybe pair him with Pavelski. Maybe Jody Shelley. Just kidding on that one. But I think Marlowe's a lock for one of the penalty killing
Right. I think you're right. And I think the fourth might be, maybe that's a role they're trying to put Marcel Gotch into, trying to make him, especially if he's a guy that's good at faceoffs. Taking a penalty killing faceoff is very important. If he can get a good percentage, then he could be actually a pretty valuable asset in that regard. It's sort of a Joel Otto, if you will. If you
oh, wanna. My. Oh, Mike just busted out the Joel Otto. A Joel Otto reference. I'm sorry. I'm just so drunk.
You in Vegas, man. And Bette Midler. That's just a match made
what
in heaven.
What a combo.
All right. So let's go to another email. Ian has emailed us. Thanks for all your emails, Ian. He knows that it's the doldrums of the season. And he says it's been a slow week in Sharks land. So he thought he'd sound off about the Ted Nolan firing. So that answers your question. Ted Nolan. Sorry. Gone. Good luck. Ooh. Ted Nolan is from outside of Ian's hometown, which we mispronounced last week. It's actually Sault Ste. Marie. And sorry, my French accent is just as bad as my French pronunciation, so I apologize for that. But Ted Nolan won 3 Memorial Cups for the Greyhounds there. He did win the Coach of the Year award in Buffalo, and now he's been run out of the Islanders organization. And Ian says, I really hope Ted gets another chance. I think it's deserved, but if he does and it doesn't work out, I'll be the first to say, okay, maybe I'm wrong. But until then, I think he's gotten a raw deal. Doug, what do you think about the Ted Nolan firing?
Well, if I was Ted Nolan, I'd send Garth Snow a thank you card and some flowers. I mean, get me the hell out of there. I mean, the only direction the Islanders are going is straight to hell. That team has no direction. They're going to be playing again with a bunch of veterans that would be playing, you know, third and fourth line spots on other teams. And when you're extending Brendan Witt and really, you know, putting the cornerstone of your defense behind Brendan Witt, you know, and Mark Strait, they have serious problems. They're going to kind of be the throbbing butthole of the league.
They're going to be another whipping boy in the East.
They really are. And I think Nolan was able to get the most he could out of them and get them to kind of play that old school blue-collar hockey that isn't really played by very many teams in the East anymore. And, you know, I think Nolan is on shaky ground because his style is not conducive to what a lot of teams are trying to do now. And I'm not sure we're going to see him again. What do you think, Mike?
I kind of disagree with you. I think he was run out of there. I don't think that it was mutual, as the parties often like to say. I mean, Ted Nolan had a long layoff from coaching, and he couldn't even get a job at any level for a while, and he had to go back and coach junior or high school or something. I mean, he was practically coaching the beer league team, you know, down at the rink on the corner for a while there after he left Buffalo.
Which is your team?
It is. We actually need a coach really badly, so Ted, call me. But
I hear Al Sims is available.
Yeah, I think he's going to be our assistant. But the thing about Nolan is he's a great coach, and I think that he works well at just what you said. He can take a bunch of disparate pieces, he can put them together, he can put a team that works hard every night, and I think he overachieved both seasons he was on the island, and I think that they won't be able to reproduce that performance with whatever coach they bring in for next year. The problem with Ted Nolan is now he has the stigma of not getting along with management, rightly or wrongly. I think the Islanders organization is kind of a mess. They have a rookie GM in Garth Snow. They have a guy who is very unorthodox in the owner, Charles Wang. They've hired Neil Smith and then fire him a second later. They hire Pat LaFontaine as doing a job that I don't even know what that job is. So the whole Islanders organization is very strange. And so, but even though if that's the culprit in this deal, Ted Nolan's still going to be facing the idea, uh-oh, this guy's not a good hire. This guy's a guy that's not going to get along with the GM. And I think that could really hurt, you know, his chance of getting another job. I think the Kings, if I were the Kings, if I was Dean Lombardi, I would tell, you know, Terry Murray to buzz off and I would hire Ted Nolan like right now. Because he's the kind of guy that can get all of those young guys to work hard. And I think if you say, listen, you know, we're on the 3-year plan, I'll give you a 3-year deal right now. And you bring Jack Johnson up and you bring Kopitar up and you bring O'Sullivan and Dustin Brown, you get these guys playing well, then you're going to look like a genius in 2 years. But you can't go out and say, we have to make the playoffs right now. And that's reportedly what he was saying on the island, although I don't know why he would say that. They're terrible.
I'm not sure what type of coach they think that they need. It's not like they've got a roster full of young guys. I mean, they've got a roster full of mishmash veterans. The direction there is is extremely bizarre, and I think for Islander fans, it seems pretty hopeless and pretty lost. If I was a season ticket holder there, I'd certainly wouldn't be renewing my tickets, Mike. Would you just
hope for Kyle Okposo to be the second coming of Ovechkin? I mean, that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
They got a couple of good prospects. Who'd they draft? Joshua Bailey? I mean, that's not a good draft.
They pass. I mean, we talked about this on the draft show. You trade down, you pass on Filatov, and you draft Josh Bailey, who's a, you know, going to be a character player, third line guy, maybe a second line player, instead of getting maybe a potential star. For the Islanders, they are in sinking mode.
Right. And there's no end in sight. So Islander fans, I feel sorry for you.
Suck it up.
Yeah, suck it up. So let's go to the shootout. There's a lot of different news around the NHL, so let's give a quick take on a lot of those. First off, Vincent LeCavalier signed an 11-year, $85 million contract, which includes a no-movement clause.
Rumor has it the Sharks are trying to get him for...
Yeah, I think he's immediately on the block.
Mark Edward Vlasic, he's immediately on the block. We know for the Lightning, no movement clause doesn't mean anything. But great, great move for him personally and for that organization. And, you know, we'll talk about more about the Lightning as we get closer to the season, whether we think what they've done is good or bad. Josh Georges, our favorite guy who can really take a hit, 3 years, $3.3 million to stay in Montreal.
Good for him. I mean, $3 million a year. He's making more than Patrick Rismiller. I mean, who would have said 2 years ago this guy would be even in the league anymore? It wouldn't have been me. Good for you, Josh. Go take that hit. Feaster's out as the GM in Tampa Bay. Another Tampa Bay story. It seems like there's a new story coming out of Tampa Bay every single day.
He's in line to get a new haircut. He looks like Hair Club for Men. You know that guy? I mean, he's just got his really, really short hair. That's one funny looking guy. Maybe he'll coach the Islanders. How about Pavel Dimitra in Vancouver?
I don't think this makes the Canucks any better. He's going to play 20 games, hurt for 15 games, play 20 games and hurt for 15. I can't see them. That's not the fix they need in Vancouver. I think they need defense.
I think the Canucks should trade for Havlat and put him on the same line.
Yeah. And Hanzus.
Just call him the emergency room.
Yeah.
The ER line.
The ER line. Okay. Latest rumor for the Sharks. Alexei Semenov could be back.
Brains.
Could be back.
Frankenstein back on the team. Oh, God help us. Although it is good material, but I can't stand that pylon on skates.
Can we get Rob Davison? He's available.
I would rather have Rob Davison in a heartbeat, and I hope that that's the decision they make. If you want to go with a veteran seventh defenseman, please bring back Rob Davison instead of Frankenstein.
Yeah. Give him $600,000 or $700,000 and show Semenov the door. All right, well, that does it for this episode of Dudes on Hockey. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you'll read us at sharks.hockeyanalysis.com. And we look forward to talking to you next week.
Do you have any Jack Daniels?
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.